Blog Talk Radio.
We're dialing again. Oh, what's happening here? We're using Skype. Anyway, we're supposed to do a special on the Chicago police controversy, and it's just one of many that's going on across the country. And here we're trying to get them again. Where is our guest? Try again. We'll try one more time. There we go.
Sorry, the mailbox is full and there is not enough space to leave a message. To send a message to another subscriber, enter the area code and phone number of that subscriber or press the star key to enter your own mailbox.
Okay, I don't know what's going on here, but we're trying to find out what happened to our...
Nothing has been selected. Yes. To send a message to another subscriber, enter...
So we'll go on to what's... the interesting events today. We'll try to get our guest back on another day. Anyway, we did do an interview on Chicago police and what's interesting, whether Chicago and Cook County has the tightest gun control laws in the country, yet more people have been killed there and under very controversial circumstances than any other place in the country. And Patrick, who is a police beat journalist, I think we'll replay that interview we did with him, and then we'll probably do the other one Monday. So
and,
here goes.
Riots going down in Chicago, if at all.
It depends which part of Chicago you're talking about. Now, on the north side, I think most people I've talked to feel, as I do, that we ought to at least let the investigations plural play out before we rush to any kind of judgment one way or the other.
Right.
But on the south side, as a matter of fact, they're practically regarding this guy as a saint and martyr. The fact of the matter is that he was allegedly involved in a botched robbery about 45 minutes before this incident took place, and that according to the police account, again, let's wait, according to the police account, he reportedly grabbed for the officer's gun. Now, that is not a very healthy move to make.
Turned out to be fatal.
It boils on, it borders on suicidal. You just
right.
don't do that.
Right.
And so I'd like to see, what the investigation bears out. I mean, but it looks like this lad was not, the resident angel, and that his death did not border on martyrdom, and that, once again, the Reverend Al Sharpton and the Reverend Jesse Jackson are going down there and capitalizing on all of the media attention that they can get.
Right, yeah. Well, Sharpton, in fairness to him, and as much as this sticks in my craw, he did say to calm things down, but, he didn't belong there. Now, are there people from Chicago or from Illinois who are over
there? There are Chicago. There's a group calling itself the Revolutionary Gang. It's
a
black group from the West Side.
Mm-hmm.
There are allegedly some gangbangers that have gone down there.
Mm-hmm.
These are not your garden variety altar boys.
Right. Oh yeah. No, I looked at what I've seen, and I did do a thing on Jay Nixon. Now, Patrick, you have about
One person that comes off, as the good guy in this, I think, is the police chief, the black police chief.
State police. Yeah.
Yeah. Is. Pleading for calm. He has a very balanced approach to everything. And I really don't believe that he's going to be rigging the investigation. Because you'd be hard put to put him as a charter member of the KKK.
Right. Well, I don't think that's what happened. You look at the video of this kid. He's not. Nobody's mentioning this. This kid was like 6'4 and 290 pounds.
Yeah.
Nobody's brought that up, but you can see it in the video.
Yeah.
And him roughing up. It looks like a black store employee.
It was a black.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got that down.
Yeah. And
no pun intended.
His size was mentioned. And while it's true that in many places, especially San Francisco, size is not everything.
Depends on which end you're on.
But the fact of the matter is that, his size was mentioned, and it was mentioned that he was a suspect in an attempted robbery.
Right. Well, there's a video on it, and of course the Darren Wilson looks like he's about 5'9", 5'10". Of course, he left town. I can understand why. Now, Patrick, you've covered police beats for what, about 40, 50 years?
40.
Okay, I'm
45, 40 years.
And no pun intended.
Remember, you're just about the same age as I.
Right. Now, we've been on some things together.
You and I did not ride together in the hunt for John Wilkes Booth.
No, but I mean, we've seen some things, and cops dragging guys into the alley and working them over with billies and that sort of thing.
Of course.
Chicago police. How would this have been handled in Chicago, in your opinion?
In Chicago, in what year?
We went through the Martin Luther King. We've seen the police raid gay bathhouses.
In the early 60s, the investigation would have been geared to give the officer a free pass, do not go to jail.
Okay, benefit of the big doubt.
If it happened today, even in Chicago, my suspicion is there would have been, especially under Superintendent McCarthy, there would have been a fair investigation.
Okay.
I really don't think that just because a cop is involved, they're going to look at what happened when those cops roughed up everything else.
Mm-hmm.
50 years ago, 40 years ago, that would not have happened.
Right. Of course, now one of the things that have come up, and I remember, you remember the movie French Connection number one?
Yeah.
Okay, now, the issue that's come up is that cops profile blacks. Now, one black law professor mentioned that, you know, that probably one of the problems is that she hinted that, or somebody hinted that cops have a sixth sense and they can look at a, they'll follow a car or they'll spot a car that has expired tags and they stop the car, look at the occupants and ask for driver's license, valid driver's license, insurance, that sort of thing. And of course, because of the economic situation, a lot of these what I call ethnics, whether they're black or Latino, don't have the proper ID and you know, are complying to be on the with the rules of the road to be on the road. And in the French Connection, remember that scene where they're watching this Lincoln that had been abandoned and with the French plates, and then they had it towed in, and they were tearing it down, and then I think it was Popeye, Gene Hackman. Incidentally, he's from Illinois. I don't know if you know that. He's former Marine. Yeah, former Marine. And he said, well, what was the weight?
There is no such thing as former Marine.
Or ex-Marine or whatever.
Inactive.
Inactive. Okay, I'll watch my language. I'm telling everybody else to do. Got to follow my own rules. Well, he did say, what's the weight of the car from the factory? And so the police mechanic was saying, the X amount of pounds. He said, what did it weigh when you brought it in? And then he looked at his things, and then there was a discrepancy. And so finally the guy says, what did you tear apart, you know? And the guy says, just about everything. And then he realizes it turns out it was in the panels, you know, the panels when you next.
Right.
And they found the cocaine. And,
right.
You know, the cop, Hackman, and this is a true story, his sixth sense. And I've heard this from other cops. They have a sixth sense. And, of course, we know that when there were cops on the beat years ago, they knew who all the no-goodniks were and the troublemakers were in the neighborhood. And it's something that they develop. It isn't so much a racial thing. It's experience.
And also one other thing. There's a difference between profiling just for your jollies.
Right.
And probable cause. For example, if you are in a heavily white neighborhood and you see three guys in dreadlocks tooling around the area in a beat-up car, you know, looking at doorways or looking at doors on cars, the chances are these people are not there to distribute pamphlets for the propagation of the faith. The chances are very good they're in there for no good. I have been a police reporter for quite some time. I see the police reports. It is amazing how in recent years, how many of the suspects, and I'm not talking about suspects the police pick up just to clear a case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean suspects pointed out by witnesses who said, yes, the assailant was black. He was wearing a hoodie or what have you. He had a long schlong, whatever. And, you know, it's amazing how many of those turn out to be black. White guys commit crimes, but they do not necessarily commit the same kinds of crimes that the black guys commit.
You know, it's an interesting distinction that very few people pay attention to. Yeah, no, I mean, the reason we're talking to you is because you've had experience going out. You know, I tell a lot of these people who do police reports, say, why don't you contact the police department and go out some night on a ride?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing what you're gonna. It's a real eye-opener.
Yeah, I mean, there's a headline in the San Francisco Crown Rag. That's what we call it. It's become a Hearst paper, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what William Randolph Hearst would say if he saw it today. He'd probably upchuck. But anyway, this woman, Virginia Ho, saying, oh, there's this profiling and all this. And I said, this wretched, you know, this media moron doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
you know, because cops do develop that sense. And like you say, if you see some kid with dreadlocks in a suburban neighborhood in a beat-up car driving around real slowly, casing the joint,
right?
Yeah, you know, you're going to stop and say, hey, ID, you know, insurance, all that sort of thing. And then, of course,
by the same token, mm-hmm. I distinctly remember in the mid-1960s, I was in a car with three other guys on the south side in a black neighborhood. We were passing through there. We were not, there for our jollies. We were passing through there. Cop car pulled up. Officer asked what we were doing there. And then he said, now, you guys wouldn't be looking for a little black pussies from the old country. You wouldn't be looking for a little black nookie now, would you?
With that accent?
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what he's saying.
And we said, no, of course not, officer. And he says, that's good. He says, I'm not telling you to abstain, but the fact of the matter is that that's a very dangerous thing to do. And he said, now, you've got no reason to be in this neighborhood. We'll follow you to where it's safe for you to turn onto the expressway.
Freeway
we
out
were,
here.
We were as white as it gets.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's very, you know, even here, if you go up into Hunter's Point and you're white, you're either going to get, any other ethnic other than black, you're either going to get harassed or, you're going to get held up or carjacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're only up there for the guys that go up there looking for drugs, or as you say, a little black entertainment of the, yeah.
Right. In fact, on another occasion, when I, the first time ever I was in Detroit, and I was walking near the downtown area, but on the fringes, I was just kind of checking out the town. Cop comes up. This guy was on horse patrol. He comes up and he said, what are you doing in this neighborhood? He wasn't suggesting that I was about to commit a crime. He was suggesting that if I wasn't careful and got my tail out of there quickly, I might be the victim of a crime.
Yeah, no, I think, cops should be given credit for that. Of course, you know, you have your cops who, you know, just give a black guy or whatever, even, you know, a guy who's an upstanding citizen, they sometimes, you got, you know, all kinds who will give you a hard time, even if you're white.
Of course.
You know.
It's not just limited to black and white. I mean, I have been told that during the rough periods in Northern Ireland,
mm-hmm.
I would have, unless I were clearly an American, I would have a rough time from the RUC.
Oh, yeah. The,
if I were walking through the wrong neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
And they ask these interesting little questions like, oh, Pat Butler, where'd you go to school, Pat? And if I said, St. Patrick's High School, that would be a little bit different than if I said King William's Academy.
Yeah.
They do it everywhere, but sometimes they do it for the safety
right.
of the person involved.
Yeah, no, there's something to be said for this. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to call it profiling, you can, mm. but the fact of the matter is there are some people you can tell don't, for one reason or another, belong in a certain neighborhood.
Exactly. Well, I wanted to get that past since you are one of the few that are people still around, a real journalist. By the way, I kept hammering away at that in my phrase, media moron, and I define those people, whether they're editors or, they're writers, as people who lie, distort, and omit, and won't correct their errors. That's what I call a media moron.
Yeah.
And now somebody's picked up on this, real journalist. I kept hammering away at that. And also, a guy named Morrissey has written a song called A Journalist Who Lies. It's quite interesting. You know, people are getting dithered around for 3 or 4 days to be finally called in the National Guard. And Watts today is still not rebuilt. This is, 40-some years later.
Yeah.
And I said, look, you've got to act quickly. And Jay Nixon, I said, he should have, you know, sent in the National Guard, declared a curfew, and instead of all that heavy artillery, brought in water cannons. Some of those people need a bath anyway.
Well, that's
and it's
that's
safer.
True. Yeah, that's true. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. The National Guard is not being used here for, you know, frontline duty with
mm-hmm.
the rioters. The National Guard is being used to secure the perimeter around the police command posts and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
because there is the recognition, and you and I have had this discussion before, National Guardsmen are trained to be rescue responders as well as soldiers, but they are not trained to be policemen.
Right, right. You know, that was a mistake to send them to Afghanistan. Well, you know, well, that's another subject. No, I totally agree that, though, and the problem is these people who are from out of the area coming in there and just continuing stirring up trouble. And while, you know, we have major, major problems here, I'm doing a project on the transformation of San Francisco. It's incredible the number of people sleeping on the streets. We've got Tent City while they're spending billions on these high-rises, Manhattanizing San Francisco, and I'm going to put it up on Amicus Veritas YouTube.
Those people that are out on the streets there are very often people who used to live in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Well, they even come here and can't afford the rents.
And got priced out, and now they're on the street.
Yeah, I mean, I see it, and it's younger and also a lot of blacks. And, of course, they're being priced out of San Francisco because of the yuppie, techie thing. But, you know, we've become a one-industry town that we used to have paint factories, hardware manufacturers, Baker and Howard. It was one of the major companies in the country that supplied hardware to all of the small hardware stores. Everything's been closed, and the economy is geared toward fulfilling the desires of the yuppies and the techies. You know, espresso shops, what I call gay, twiggy clothes. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that they're advertising in windows for males. I mean, even a high school kid couldn't fit into some of these garments.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And so, and the rents are like $5,000 a month, and people are going into the stores looking but not coming out with anything, and you're wondering how can the proprietors afford the rent unless they're doing something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are more and more, we're becoming, more and more stores have bars on the windows and on the doors because they're being broken into after hours. And it's interesting, after World War II, we had the DPs that came into certain areas of San Francisco, and we didn't have these problems.
No.
You know?
No.
Now it's completely reversed.
In the first place, they were buying buildings and renovating them in some cases.
Yeah.
But they were not raising the rents to the point where the people that were living there could not afford to continue living there.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous, and I call it a false prosperity, but, you know, that's... And all these people, we don't even know who these construction companies are. I mean, I'm doing some research.
Okay, that was the end of the... That was a previous interview, which was relevant to what's going on in Chicago today. We hope to get Pat Butler. I'm going to try one more time. Let's see if I can get him. Try one more time. Well, we're dialing. Unless something happened in Chicago. Oh, no good. Okay, well, we're going to try to get him for Monday, and we'll do our usual politics and poker. We'll be back Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and I'll find out what happened to Patrick. excuse me. And so here we're going to our usual for the week, politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen,
Here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace Bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here's home.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Poker, which is more important?
Sarah trades.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fold. I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovic, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just would sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me.
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. It's politics. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average guy a heavy smoker. There's a nominee and give him a regard, and watch while he learns that in poker and politics, brother, you gotta have that slippery, haphazardous commodity.
Peter Paul Rizzolo will be back Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We hope to have that interview with Pat Butler, longtime Chicago Police beat reporter. Good night. Stay safe.